that you can't see. He doesn't focus on the things that are right in front of him, the temporary things. Because, see, this life is temporary, isn't it? You don't get very much time. Moments are temporary. I use the word, I say like temporal. It's a temporal realm that we live in. Things are not on and on and on, live forever. There are physical limitations. Some people are short, some people are tall. We have disabilities, some people are healthy. I mean, we've got all kinds of different things, right? We got limitations of attitudes, you know. We got physical limitations, you know. I can't fit in a size 32 pants. Mostly because of Christmas and laziness. But anyway, I'm kidding around a little bit. But we have all kinds of limitations in this life. The Bible, let's go to the Bible. Well, there was a testimony earlier today from, I think it was from Kendra, about going to the source, right? Going to the manual. Let's go to the manual. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 46 through 47, and then we're going to jump to verse 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 and 47, and then 52. Let's read. Here's an example of limitations. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, I can't pronounce it, the son of, I can't pronounce his dad, sat by the road. So there was a guy sitting by the road begging, and he was blind, okay? And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus heard him, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, or teacher, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately the man received his sight, and he followed Jesus on that road. Jesus believed in the unseen, and he healed a man from blindness. So think about that. Jesus believed in the unseen. There's other limitations in this life I want to kind of throw out there a little bit as we get started. Sometimes it's our looks. I know that we don't like to talk about that sometimes as Christians, but let's face it, sometimes your look is a limitation. It's not fair, but that's the way of the world. People have made huge mistakes based on a person's looks. People have dated people based on their looks, and they turn out to be not a very good person to be dating, not a very good person to be dating, okay? Now, guys don't like to, or people, before I jump to that other part, some people get hired on their looks, and they can't even do the job. But because they look smart, they're assumed to be smart. Or because they look attractive, they want to hire them. We make our friends, oftentimes we choose friends based on how they look. We even buy from people because of how they look. You know, guys don't like to talk about this, but how many times guys just think about, just kind of answer me rhetorically. Don't raise your hands. Don't want you to get smacked. How many times have you bought something because a girl was attractive, but you didn't really want what it was you were buying? Or you didn't even know what you were buying. Just, she smiled, she bought it. I've got some friends that would go get their car washed back in the day when we were a lot younger, and we would do car washes for our school. And the guy, I couldn't get anybody pulling in and get a car wash, but we send the girls out there, everybody wanted to get a car wash. And we've had guys want to come to church and get saved because they liked the way the girls looked. You know, do you know anything about being a Christian? Nope, don't know nothing about it, but she's a Christian, so I'm going to be one. There are more limitations. There's physical limitations in life, and there's also emotional limitations in life. Impatience is a limitation. It affects your relationships, right? You know, I'm not going to mention names, but I remember one time one spouse was talking to me, another spouse talked to me. So one spouse said, I don't know why they put spices up in this cupboard because they're going to go back and do it later. I said, let me tell you about an impatient person, how they work. Because I know what that's like. I suffer from this. I said, you expect that person to come back and fix it later. They're not going to come back and fix it later. As far as they're concerned, that was good enough. They're like, what? What do you mean? I said, if I put something a certain way, I ain't got no plan to come back and fix that. That's the way it's going to be. If it's crooked, it's going to stay crooked. That's my plan. Because I put it crooked because my plan was I didn't want to come back. I'm not coming back because I didn't want to do it the first time. Impatience. It affects our relationships. Our emotional being has been injured through our life, especially as children starting out. Every person, in my opinion, has emotional injuries. It is caused by our parents. It might have been caused by a teacher who wasn't there to be a teacher. They're there because it's a job. It could have been caused by your employers. It could have been caused by your friends. It could have been caused by everybody you know or ever met. Scarred you emotionally. And it gets in the way of your life today, doesn't it? Don't we say things and do things to hurt the people we love out of emotions or out of a response we didn't mean to express, all because they triggered something? We just couldn't help it. Emotional injuries. Education is a limitation in our society. Let me get this out here, this truth. Educational level is not determined by a person's intelligence. Did you know that? How much education a person had isn't necessarily has anything to do with their intelligence. Sometimes it has to do with how their circumstances of life. Like they were born into a home that can't afford to educate their children. When my father, you know, he died at 92 years old, okay? So when he was in school, that's a long time ago. When he was in school, that was way back during the Depression era. When he was in eighth grade, he had to drop out of school to get a job because his dad could not get his job. He couldn't keep a job or couldn't find a job. But people would hire young people back in those days faster than they hired the adults, you know, because they felt sorry for him and stuff. So his brothers, you know, they quit going to school to get a job so they could have something to eat, so the family could survive. But when that period was over, during that generation, there was no going back like you can today. He was kind of stuck in there. And then people have attitudes about that, like, well, they should have planned better. I was like, well, how about the people that caused the depression in the first place? Why didn't they plan better? Praise the Lord. Don't get me fired up on those things. I'm still using my technology here, so I jumped to the bottom page. Praise the Lord. Every person in the sound of my voice has the potential to be an Einstein. Do you know that when they cut open his brain, they were surprised that he had a smaller than average brain? They were shocked, but yet he was super smart. So I guess if you have brain shrinkage, there's hope for those of us who are getting older. If you live only by what you can see, what you can perceive in that moment, if you perceive things by what you can see, you will not be a dynamic person in life the way you want to be. You're not going to be an awesome person. But if you dare to perceive beyond what you can see and know of this temporal world, there is a power without limitations called Christ. God. I want you to think about this. Look what God did with Peter and John. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, and then we'll drop down to 13 through 14. This is a story of what God did. I want you to get a little bit of glimpse of what kind of people John and Peter were. Sometimes nowadays we look at them like, oh, because they're great, you know. But they didn't start out like that. They started out just like us. Now, as they spoke to the people, this is Peter and John, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came out to be about 5,000. That didn't include the children and the women. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, people that are in charge, the elites, the elders, the scribes, I'm adding the elites in there, as well as Ananias, the high priest, the elite of the elites, and Sapphias, John, and Alexander, as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together. So basically everybody who was somebody, in their opinion, was there. And when they sat in the midst, they sat, hey, come on, Peter, John, we need to talk to you. And so then Peter and John had talked to them, had said some things, shared some things. Now, here's what it says in verse 13. This is the people, all the people, the who's. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they saw this great boldness in these gentlemen. Then it says, they perceived that they were what? Uneducated and untrained. And they said they were surprised. Of course, they use a fancy word called marveled. And they realized that they had been affected by Jesus. So they've been with Jesus. They were impacted by Jesus. That's what that's saying right there in verse 13. They realized these uneducated men with no potential have been affected by Jesus. In verse 14, it says, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, what does it say now? They could not say anything against. They had nothing to say. What can they say? If you are willing to pay the cost, ladies and gentlemen, here and online, if you are willing to pay the cost, there is no limitations in Christ. If you will apply his thinking patterns, you can handle anything in life that you go through, that life throws at you. You will be successful in everything you put your hands to, in whatever happens to you. In my opinion, most Christians probably won't experience God's limitless life, and that is sad, because I wish all my brothers and sisters in Christ will have that opportunity. But I'm not sure that that's going to take place in this life. Not because they don't love God, because I think they do. And not because they're not motivated to serve him. But the thing is, if you're motivated to serve the Lord, because when you first get saved, you get kind of pumped. And you're like, whoa, yeah, we're going to go out and take on the gates of hell. No retreat, no surrender. We got that emotional fired up. Well, here's something I learned on my walk. And that is, my emotional fired up experience wears off after a while. You don't stay pumped forever. You must decisively have a plan, the right plan, and take those steps in that plan inside here for Christ. There is a way that leads to life. Matthew 7 and 14. There is a way. I'm not talking about going on to eternity. I'm talking about having life in the here and now. There is a way to have that vitality of life that Jesus had while he was here. Matthew 7 and 14. We know he had vitality of life because it says that just a woman touching the hem of his garment, it said she was healed from her infirmities, and she was trying to do it without getting noticed. She was trying to sneak in there, just barely touched his garment. Well, he had such vitality of life that he actually felt that go out of him into someone. He said, "Hey, who touched me?" And all his apostles, all his disciples said, "Man, you're crazy. Everybody's touching you." He said, "No, somebody touched me in an anointed way." He felt a need fulfilled in that moment. He felt something of his essence go into someone else. Read the story. Here it says in Matthew 7:14, it says, because narrow is the gate, because it's narrow and difficult is the way that leads to life, because it's narrow and difficult, there are a few who find it. Aren't those really heavy, sad words to read? So I want to talk about some transformational truths in details today. I want to talk about a commitment. Endure a process, making mistakes, drawing strength, and is there a risk before we leave today? Number one, let's talk about some steps. Now, these are not all the steps. They're just some steps to help you get started. Exodus 20 and 3. Step one is, hey, you've got to give total commitment and effort in walking this journey of Christ, okay? Here in Exodus 20 and 3, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, why would it say no other gods? It's saying that you can't value anything else but me. I want 100% commitment out of you. That's what people expect when they get married, 100% commitment, emotionally, mentally, physically, 100% commitment. But God wants it, everything. A decision of the mind I'm talking about, not an emotional decision. This is not something you can do emotionally. You've got to be decisive in this. How, Joe, you may say, Pastor Joe, how do I know if I've done that? How do I know if I had that kind of commitment? Well, here's what God taught me. Well, what do you value as part of your commitment in this life? Check it out. Because, see, total commitment means this. No other and no backup plan. Total commitment is no other plan and no backup plan. It's just, this is your retirement plan, is Jesus. And if the stock market falls in Jesus, you're out of luck. Because if you want a hundredfold return, you got to give it all. God is not an additive. You know what I'm talking about? Those of you that used to live up in Alaska or ever lived in cold areas, and you get water in your tank, you have to add sometimes an additive to your gasoline. Sometimes that's how we treat God as Christians. So God, he's an additive. My marriage needs fixed. I'm going to add a little God here. Wish I had one of those heat things. Your children needs to be fixed. I'm going to add a little God here. A little additive. There's not a... I've heard this in many places that I've been in the Christian community that I've fellowshipped with, that they say, God, family, friends, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, no, 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 there is no first, there is no second, and there is no third. It's just God, period. Period. There is no other valued thing but God in your life. Period. That's what it means by total commitment to God. That's the kind of commitment Jesus is asking from just a normal people, his Christians. Be committed to me, then I will do my thing in you and through you. Another step you can take. You have to be willing to endure God's process, brothers and sisters. Let's turn to James 1. Chapter 1 in verse 2 through 4. There is a process that we all have to go through. Peter, Paul, James, they all talked about it in the New Testament. They understood this. There's something you have to go through. Things are not going to always be grandy. This world is broken, and God wants to create a house to live in. You are the house. You are the temple. He wants it to be built on a strong foundation and weather anything that can happen. My brethren, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You can have all kinds of pressure. You need to count this thing as exciting. Knowing that the testing of your faith, this is how you're going to find it joyful to be in pressure. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, we could be excited about pressure if you perceive it the right way. See, pressure finds your weakness. It points out your wrong values and your wrong thinking to you personally. It's going to show you your own thinking patterns. Why does pressure, God use pressure to show you these things? So you can exchange them for Christ's thinking system, to replace them. God is trying to heal you, strengthen you, and bring out of you your best. The best you. That's what he's trying to do to you, brothers and sisters. But sadly, most people, including Christians, they try to find escape out of pressure. I've been there. Rather than learn from it. Instead, you know, we do things like this, and our brothers and sisters out in the world do it. But the brothers and sisters, Christians, we shouldn't do it, but we do the same thing often. We try to stimulate emotional fun through substances or physical activities rather than learn to be a fun person in whatever we do. We choose to withdraw and avoid relationships and people to feel what? Peace and security. That's why you withdraw. That's why you avoid people, to feel peaceful. You ever been around somebody drive you nuts? Drive you crazy? Got, you know, can't hardly stand being around them? So what do? You avoid them or you withdraw from them. Rather than to learn to think right so you can be secure and have peace in that relationship. And then that relationship becomes stronger. or powerful. The Bible says where there are two or more gathered together. Look that scripture up for yourself. Didn't it say that? Where two or more gather, there I am. I got thinking about, why does he mean two or more? Why means, well, is Jesus not here when I'm here? Well, since he gave us a measure of himself in each person, the more the people are gathered together, the more representation of his of him. I thought, whoa, I do need the body of Christ. Be willing to fall and stumble along your learning journey. That's about as simple as I can get in that step. Be willing. If you play it safe, you're never going to go anywhere. I remember an example of that. Back when I was about 16 or 15, a couple, some of us dudes, we'd have a, what we call a dance party, or what do they call it back in the 80s? But we had a dance party, and the girls out there dancing, and we liked some of them girls. I wanted to go out there and dance with the girls, but I was just too scared. But the problem was this. They're over there. I'm over here. This isn't working. I was trying to play it safe because it was too. Because if I went over and asked one of them to dance or get around one of them to dance, they might say no. So that's why I didn't do it. I just could not handle saying, hearing the word no. It's too humiliating, too embarrassing. So I never got to really dance. Isn't that sad? From that perspective, we don't go anywhere because we're just too scared or we want to play it safe. You can't play it safe if you want to be awesome, dynamic, and great, and powerful. Another one, be willing to draw from others in the body of Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. We need to be willing to draw from others in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16. We need to accept this truth. You cannot do this alone. You cannot do this alone. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Hear what I said? Said the joint knit, the jointed and knitted together by what every joint supplies. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's awesome. Every joint supplies a need. It does not say a joint supplies a need. It says all of them do it together. Our physical body can do many things because there's joints, all kinds of biological levers that go on to do these things. It, more than what we could fathom, you know, goes into walking and doing things. That's how powerful the body of Christ can be if we're all knitted jointly together and we supply each other's need. We work together and figure this out. Interaction can be uncomfortable. I totally understand that because people have emotional injuries. People will bother you along your journey until you are healed. Now, see, we always blame the other person. You need to tell yourself, I'm going to be bothered in these relationships, not because they're doing anything wrong, but because I got something wrong. I got something wrong that's within me that I didn't ask for. I got an injury. It's my injury that's causing me to be bothered. I'm not bothered. My injury is bothered. Tell yourself that. I'm not bothered. I don't have a bad attitude. It's my the real Joe doesn't want to have a bad attitude. It's the injured Joe that has a bad attitude. But the Christ Joe is going to take over. And the injured Joe can just go cry all day, but we're going to go to work. We're going to treat people nice. We're going to be Christ. And he can go in the bathroom and pray about it. The advantages, here's our advantages, people, to the body of Christ. We have an awesome advantage here. The advantage is strength if you hang in there and learn how to have a good relationship with each other in Christ. We will have friendship for life. Some of you have been my friends for a very long time. And there's things in me you probably wish would hurry up and change. I don't know if they ever will. But there's things about you that I don't like either, so we're together on this. But I'm okay with that because we're lifelong friends. It's the Christ in you that's the team I'm on. I'm on Team Christ, not Team needs to die on the cross team. Okay. Be willing to risk it all, go all the way. I remember when I was about 21 and I just married for about maybe a year and probably not even that. And I, at that time in my life, I had a lot of emotional expressive injuries. That's a political way of saying I was problematic. I caused problems. I was miserable. I was tormented. I had all kinds of, I just could not take it anymore. And I remember there was a, Amy had like a walk-in closet. And I walked in there, and I cleared out a space underneath her clothes, and I put a little, I built a little makeshift desk, and I sat there on some milk cartons. And I opened up my Bible, and I said, God, I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is real, but I'm so miserable. I need help. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. So I'm going to search this scripture over and over and over. And I'm going to listen to these sermon well, back then we had sermon tapes. They evolved into CDs. Now they're evolved into MP3s. But, and I'm going to listen to them over and over. And I'm going to follow these scriptures. I'm going to look at these things. I'm going to see, does the Christian way really work? 35 years later, stronger than I've ever been before. It works for me. I know it works. But I learned this along the way. The only way to get strong in my heart, in my mind, to get where God wants me to be, I've got to be willing to risk it all, because that's a big risk. One man told me one time, he said, my wife loves God, but I'm afraid that she's in I forget what church she went to, but that's irrelevant. I'm afraid of all this time and effort and money she puts into going to this church that she goes to. And I said, why not? Well, because what if this all fails and backfires on her? And I said, well, don't you invest in a lot of things like houses and things like this? He goes, well, yeah. I said, what if they all burn down, tornado blows them all down? He goes, well, I'll lose all my money. I said, well, don't you think she might be a little upset? All that investment you put in that is all gone? He goes, I say, have people invested in businesses and the stock market crash and they lose everything? He goes, yeah. What's the difference? But she believes she's investing in something that can't be destroyed by the pressure around them, can't be destroyed by the opinion of society. She's investing in something that she thinks is going to make her foreverly strong and her eternal forever and ever and ever. She's investing in something, and if it fails, hey, it's no different than anything else. Nobody else, hey, everybody's career can fail. Or succeed. He goes, huh? Never thought of that. But God says, give me all, and I'll take you far beyond anything you've ever imagined and dreamed. Nothing can, but see, here's the things. I have learned this, to be willing to risk it all, to go all the way, to be what Christ wants me to be that strong and victorious person, feel strength in my life, to be successful in all things that I go through, to bring out the best me. I'm not saying you're going to be rich. I don't know. It depends on what God wants to do with you, what vessel he has you in. But I know this, you can handle anything. Nothing can be valuable, can be too valuable to lose to be victorious. Nothing can be too valuable to lose to be successful. Nothing can be too valuable to you to be the best you. Not material wealth, not your health, not a relationship, not a feeling, not your reputation. You got to be willing to risk it all. You may not have to, but you got to at least have that attitude. Because Satan will come against you any way he can. He went against Job. You got to have the attitude to go through whatever it takes, lose whatever you must to be your best in Christ. And you will get there. You will be successful. You will be victorious. And you will be your best. Many brothers and sisters have come before us and done the very thing I'm talking about. I'm just going to leave you with some thoughts here. I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30 and 39. A lot of times my fellow brothers and sisters out in the community of the world, like to preach about all the great things that God will do for you. I want to share some things that people who said, I don't care about all those riches and all these things. I'm going to risk it all to make a difference. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after them and they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies in peace. Isn't that amazing? But hey, what about all of the points of view of this, of the giving it all? Because we like to, oh yeah, Jericho walls. I like to see that around my bank. Jericho walls break down so I make some money. What about all of it? Verse 32. What more shall I say? Paul's going to go on. For the time the world failed me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and also David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked riches, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the volley of violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, the intruders. Women received their dead, raised again. And then it goes on to say the rest of the people went through hard stuff too. Those are all the people who sacrificed everything, right? Well, that they're not the only ones. Some of them says this. Still, he threw that in there. But others had trials of mockings and scourgings, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn. They were cut in half. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheep's clothing and goat skin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. That's God's attitude about them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth, and all of these, having obtained good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Now, when you go on to read that chapter, they did all this, because I didn't put this on my notes, but in verse 40 and 41, they carried that torch and gave it their all. For what? For you. Today. For you. For you. For all of you. They carried that torch of truth. They gave it their all. They gave it the highest risk to carry their portion of the truth and of learning until they handed it to you, Lauren. Now, what are all you going to do with your turn? We don't probably have to worry about eating lion in the United States unless you're at a zoo and somebody breaks loose. That's pretty rare. Not going to happen. Probably not going to happen. But maybe you're going to be made fun of. Maybe you're going to be lied about. Maybe you're going to be criticized. Maybe your friends are going to be lied about and criticized. Are you going to be a friend for them in their hour of need when they're being lied about? Are you going to be up? See, I'm their friend. That's my friend. Yes, they're my friend. But they did such and such a lies. They're my friend. Make a total commitment and give it your best. While you endure his process. And don't fear stumbling and falling falling in your learning. Draw strength from each other, okay? And take the risk. Take the risk to be your best in whatever you do in this life. Thank you for being with us here at live stream. We appreciate you being with us at the Christian Church and Academy. We can't wait to see you next week at 11 a.m. And let's just, you know, take whatever step you got to go through this week, just do it with a blaze of fire. And if you trip and stumble and fall and trip and fall down, you get right back because I meant to do that. That's a TV there. And you get up and you go on. God love you. Just checking. Praise the Lord. Gentlemen, please help me push the seats back. Bring out the equipment, please. Keep all things in prayer for this ministry and for God's ministry throughout the world. I think God's ministry is really being under attack right now. I'm sure it's not just us. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was worried as if they'd even let you go in there.